Okay, good morning again. It's good to see you all. Today, January 12th, 2020, we're kind of finished up with our Genesis series. And this past week, did anybody listen to Mayor Marty Walsh's State of the City? No? He was very animated. He was very, you know, very dynamic. But it actually gave me an idea to do a State of the Church address. So here we are, okay? I don't know if I'll be as good as Marty, but we'll see, you know. So I called this, it's only going to be part State of the Church, and then You Serve a Big God. So that's going to be one of our themes this year. So let's pray together. Father God, thank you so much for all that you have done in our lives, in Abundant Grace Church. Please help me, Lord, be your vessel. And I pray I can inspire faith in you through this message, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So as we look, if you take an honest look at our church, one of the things we like to use as an illustration is the idea of a three-tiered fountain. So when you have water coming up through the top, at the top level, that represents our love for God and relationship with him. Then when there's an overflow of that, then there's our second level of our love for each other as the members of the church. And then if there's an overflow from that, there's love going out to people outside of the church who may not even know Jesus yet. And those are all three areas that we need to pay attention to as followers of Christ. And it just so happened that I read Colossians this morning, kind of just before I got working on my message, and I really love Colossians 1. So I'd like to read that because I want to pick up a few points here to encourage us about the state of our church. So this is Paul writing. Paul did not start this church. A guy named Epaphras shared the gospel there, but he heard about their faith, and so he's writing them to correct some bad teaching that he heard was going on there and just to encourage their faith. He says, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it's bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant, he's a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, has made known to us your love in the Spirit. So from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who's qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Amen. So this is God's word. It's very inspiring. The good news is, because of your faith in Jesus, you've been transferred, taken out of the kingdom of darkness, placed in the kingdom of light. As I mentioned at the beginning, you're qualified. You're qualified. You have what it takes to be an inheritor of the saints in light. You have a citizenship in heaven. So Paul's excited about that. When I was thinking of Abundant Grace Church, I said, well, I believe we're constantly bearing fruit. As a church, we're bearing fruit. And it's evidenced by, as Paul said in verse 6, that we understand the grace of God. It's important to understand the grace of God. We're saved by grace. So a proper understanding of grace is all essential. There's lots of people who go to church on a regular basis who do not understand the grace of God. I told you the joy I had sharing with one young person earlier this year. And when I explained the grace of God, their eyes got real big. And they said to me, "Dave, I've gone to church my whole life. I've never heard this before." I said, "No, I understand. It's possible to go to church." So as a church, Abundant Grace, we understand the grace of God. That's important. He goes on to say that you'd be filled with the knowledge of his will, walking in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit, increasing in the knowledge of God. And again, I believe that describes this church. Praise God. Members of our church, keep growing in the knowledge of God. You walk in a manner that is worthy of the Lord, that pleases the Lord. As a pastor, I'm not having to continually reprove all of you for the ways you're sinning and disobeying God. Seriously. I just was also reading Proverbs. Proverbs talks about six things the Lord hates and seven that are an abomination to him. One is those who sow discord among brethren. Some churches, there's constant discord because people are sowing gossip. They're sowing, talking about people behind their back. That never happens at Abundant Grace Church. So I'm really happy, I'm pleased, I'm proud of us. We have a community where we love each other, believe in each other. Tina had a broken foot earlier this year. After she was recovered and back, she either said to me in person, maybe she wrote me a note, she said, you should be proud of your church. It's not really my church, it's our church. But so many people took care of me, made meals for me, cleaned my house, you know, ran errands for me. Praise the Lord. Well done. So I'm pleased and always thanking God that you are growing in your faith and love for God, for each other, and those in the world. So that's the first villain, is you're growing. That's what we expect. Many people who hit middle age plateau out in their faith. And they just kind of get comfortable, and they're really not looking to, say, advance the gospel. They're not looking necessarily to grow that much. They just kind of want to stay where they are. We're not like that. You may not like being reminded you're in your 40s and 50s and, all right, 60. Someone just told me they turned, my friend Jack, just turned 60, okay? But we're pressing on in God. And so lots of ministries target teenagers and college students because they're more open to the gospel in general, and churches that reach students grow. So churches in Boston that reach college students are growing churches. But it's possible to have a growing church that reaches middle-aged people. And so, like, we can do that. Many of you heard Terry's testimony. It was a month ago, Terry, you came to visit our church, and she knew us from 20 years ago. I was like, well, I'll just drop in and say hi. And then I'm just going to go, Lord, you know, I haven't been going to church lately. And she ended up staying, and the message happened to be returning to your first love. Well, she's been here every week since then. That's the Lord. Are you over 29, Terry? But the point is, God touches people at every age. So I want us to have that view. I want us to have that mentality, because it really encourages me. Verses 11 and 12 say, we're strengthened with power, attaining endurance and patience. Endurance and patience. And that's the second fill-in. You are demonstrating endurance and patience as a body of believers. You're steadfast. You're hanging on to the Lord. You're believing for transformation in your own lives. You're praying for your brothers and sisters to be transformed, the image of Christ. I'm really proud of Charlie. Charlie organized prayer a year or so ago for Ed Montagna. When Ed couldn't come to church, Charlie said, well, then we're going to bring the church to Ed, and we get people to go over and pray. Or they still sometimes have Ed come in early and say, we're going to lay hands on you and pray for you to be healed. That's great. So I'm proud of our church for doing that. That we bear each other's burdens. We're steadfast. We're not giving up. We're going to continue to pray for people to be healed. How many of you remember Dale Atlas's testimony in June this year? Dale is a friend of mine. She suffered from an incurable disease called Crohn's disease. And she had had it since she was 18 years old. It got progressively worse. And it was like 15 or 20 years, and they were telling her they were going to have to, like, remove sections of her intestines. And she goes, you know what? I'm tired of it. I'm done. And she even said, the Lord, tell people to stop praying for me. It's okay, you know. You're obviously not going to heal me. And the doctor said, well, look, if we don't do this surgery, you're going to die. You're not necessarily right away, but in a year or two, you're probably going to die. She goes, I don't care. I'm going home with Jesus. But she felt stirred. She invited a bunch of pastors that she knew. She was a prayer leader in the city. And some friends of hers to pray for her one more time. And so we went to her home. We laid hands on her. And after that, she started getting better. That was 20 years ago. She can eat foods that she likes to eat. Everything changed. So we never know when God is going to move. So we have to be steadfast. We have to be ready. We have to be, Jesus said, be on the alert for his return. We also have to be on the alert for him to move at the right time. We don't want to be sleeping. We don't want to be falling backwards. We want to be pressing on. And I just see that in our church. A couple other things I'd like to point out. Harley Rusk, over the past few years, really has done a great job as a worship leader, right? Well, she went to college in the fall, so that's kind of like a bummer. You're like, oh, no, you know what I mean? That seems like a setback. But what happens? So, like, Carla steps up. She starts working worship. Luke, at age, whatever, 14, whatever, is playing the keyboards if Way's not around. I love that. Abel came back this past month to our church. But Abel, if you don't know Abel, Abel's been a pillar in our church for, like, the past decade. So he went into active military duty for a year. You're like, oh, man, what's going to happen to our church? You know, Abel's gone. Well, the church carries on. People step in to do things that they didn't do before. So the next point on your outline is everyone is important, but no one's indispensable. The church is built on Jesus Christ. It's built on the work of the Holy Spirit. So people may come and go at times, but then new people step in. It's beautiful. Okay, the third level, look at our love and relationship with those outside the church. A year and a half ago, we did a survey of the church, and we recognized that our weakness is this third level, connecting with people outside the church, winning people to faith in Christ. And so we decided that what we're most comfortable with is having non-religious events where we can invite friends and connect with people, you know, in a non-threatening environment. So we said, okay, let's pick some ways to do that. We came up with apple picking. We have bowling in the afternoon, a flatbread pizza for free for people. We have community skating for free at the Warrior Ice Arena, the brand new ice arena that New Balance built. And all of those outreaches have been successful. They haven't been overwhelmingly successful, but we always get either 8 or 10 people and up to like 30 or, you know, 40 people coming to those kind of events. So I'm really happy about that because we took action on something that we saw we needed to do. How many of you have been to like bowling at Flatbread Pizza and had a good time? Yeah, it's great. So it's just a great thing to invite people to. So we need to continue doing what we're doing. Anyone can sponsor a smaller event. All right, that's number four. Anyone can start or host an event. Here's some examples of things that people have done. Janine and Michelle did a note writing event, like handwritten notes. You get together, have some food, and you're going to write notes to people and just do something that people don't do much anymore. But if you get a handwritten note, it's really nice, isn't it, that somebody took the time to write down encouraging thoughts about you. That's been very successful. The Garines have been tremendous in like monthly or every other month having a game and potluck night at their home. Peter and Evan, for example, did a costume party in October. I didn't even know about it. They just threw it, but Bianca told me, she goes, hey, we had a great time at the costume party. And so people from the church were there. There was a couple dozen people from outside the church. That's a, you have to connect. People who don't know Jesus have to connect with Christians in a meaningful way and learn to trust people who have faith. Because the world's general perception about us is negative. And so we have to overcome that. And that's overcome by personal relationships. People realize, oh, you're not like mean or judgmental or down on other people or the stereotypes they have. When you don't fit them, that opens them up to hearing about the Lord. So anyone can host an event, and the next fill-in is we will support you, okay? So if you have an idea for something, we'll pray with you. We'll encourage you to take that step of faith. We'll partner with you. If you feel like I can't do it by myself, we'll get somebody else to do it with you. Do it as a team. We'll even provide finances. Peter and Evan came up with another idea with Christian and Josh. They've started a basketball team that's going to be over at the Y. I forget, there's like 9 people. Half of the team's Christian, half the team is just friends. It costs money, so he's trying to get the church to help subsidize. We're happy to do that because that's a worthwhile outreach. So we will put money towards helping you do things that connect you with people outside the church. We want to be with you. Does that sound good? Another thing that's helped us reach out is Evan started a welcome table for guests. It's been very helpful. I've got to talk to people who've come and visited our church. We've stated some goals. I put them here on your sheet. The whole idea of blessed to be a blessing. That was our theme starting a year ago last fall. Helping people find their way back to God. That's a kind of a slogan or a statement I picked up at a conference. I love that idea. We have a goal as a church to help people find their way back to God. That's the meaning of the gospel and the good news, right? So that's one of our goals. The blessed principles. Let's read these together. B-L-E-S-S. B is begin with prayer, listen, eat, serve, share your story. Do you think every believer is able to do those 5 things? Yeah, of course. So that's what we're doing, okay? So as a church, the next point is we have to recommit ourselves to our vision. So it's a new year. It's a time to remind ourselves, hey, this is what we're aiming for, and be intentional about it. That means be purposeful. Think about it. Pray about it. Come up with new ideas. When you hear that there's a bowling event, think, who can I bring to the bowling event? Participate. So we want to do that. We want to recommit ourselves to the vision God has given us. And the next point is believe that God can use whom?
Me.
Thank you. There you go. Believe that God can use me. Dream big. All right. Look at your neighbors. Tell them, dream big because God can use you. Dream big. God can use you. What have we learned in Genesis? Did God pick perfect people with tremendous gifts of faith as the only ones that he could use? No, he picked Abraham. Abraham was afraid. He's lying about his wife being his sister. And then when the guy's going to take Sarah as his wife, he gets a dream and God says, you're in trouble. You're a dead man. He's like, what did I do? I didn't know. They said, well, ask this guy to pray for you. You're like, ask him, the liar, to pray for me? Hello? I mean, we don't think of that. You know, we know the story, but you want me to ask? Well, he's a prophet of God. Oh, okay. Please pray for us. And they got better. Amen? See, God uses sinful people, fallen people, broken people. Those are the people that God likes to use. Because then who gets the glory? He does, okay? And that's what we're about. We want God to get the glory. I want to encourage us. 2019 was a very fruitful year for us. In 2017 and 18, just like we didn't see hardly anybody come to the Lord. I think we had 1 baptism. We only had like 2 or 3 guests for a year or two there. It was very discouraging. Ingrid and I actually met with Ian Ashby, who is our Confluence Northeast leader. Most of you have heard Ian speak. And Gareth Forsey. And we said, hey, we want to share what's going on. We need your prayers. We're concerned. And we prayed together. But that was also a time where we were doing the survey and getting this idea like, hey, we're going to like recommit ourselves to reaching out. Well, since then, I think Peter keeps track. We had like 25 guests this past year. Personally, this was a record year for me. I helped 5 people put their faith in Jesus last year. Isn't that amazing? I told some of you, my next door neighbor, of course you know, Stephen and Judy and Sherry, and they got baptized in July. So it's just great things have been happening. There's about 9 or 10 people who are coming to our church. It doesn't feel like it today because it's a lot of people are gone. But there's 9 or 10 people who weren't coming regularly to church a year ago. So when you're a church of 60 people, that's like a 15% increase. That's significant. So I want to thank God for that. I want to honor him. And I want us to believe that that's going to continue to happen. You could have said amen to that. All right, good. Peter has a friend. He just told me, hey, my friend that I've been doing the Bible study with just told me, I believe now. That's great. Ingrid redid the Bible 8 curriculum at her Boston Trinity Academy. The kids all read Romans. And this one girl came under conviction. She had this dream that she was like climbing a ladder to heaven and getting kicked off before she could get there. She told a friend and she said, whoa, we need to talk to Mrs. Hill. And she brought her to Ingrid. Ingrid shared the gospel with her, explained grace of God again. She put her faith in Jesus. Isn't that great? Janine told us last week, and I knew part of this story. We have mutual friends, a pastor and his wife. The pastor's wife was living in Africa. She's a lesbian, and she came to America to move in with a woman that she met through the Peace Corps. Pastor's wife's sister came over. All right, so the sister came over. Everything fell apart, you know, in this relationship. So now she's kind of like stuck in America. She goes, oh, can I come and stay with you guys for a month? Because, you know, I'm here. And they're like, sure. And but, you know, like inside, they're like, whoa, this is going to be like dramatically change our family. And they have kids. And she's a very broken person. And she's not the kind of person that you think is like really open to the Lord. Well, she came and stayed with them. They loved on her. They said, look, we're just going to invite you to everything we do. They took her Christmas caroling, and Janine sat down next to her and befriended her. And then a couple days later, Janine went over and said, I feel like God put on my heart to just tell you that he loves you and he wants to have a relationship with you. She went to their church service a few days later. A woman in the church came and sat down next to her and said, hey, God put on my heart to tell you that he loves you and wants to have a relationship with you. And she's like, whoa. So New Year's Eve, a bunch of their friends are all gathered together, you know, and they're saying, what are you thankful for this year? So the sister goes, can I go first? She goes, I don't know how to say this, but I'm trusting Jesus now. And they're like, whoa. God's moving. So I just share these stories to encourage your faith. My son David said to me, Dad, God is honoring your efforts, even if people aren't like directly coming through the outreaches that you're doing. He goes, I really believe that God just, your intention and the way you're praying and acting. I said, amen. So that's number 7. God's honoring our efforts, and we're seeing much fruit. So let's believe God to keep this going. Let's recommit ourselves to pursuing this vision, and let's dream big. And I'd like to close us out by looking at 2 Kings chapter 5. Jesus said, if you want to enter the kingdom, what do you need to become like? A child. All right, this is a story of a girl. I'll read the story to you. 2 Kings 5. Naaman, king of the army of the king of Aram, the enemies of Israel, was a great man with his master, highly respected, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man was also a valiant warrior, but he was a leper. Now the Arameans had gone out in bands and had taken captive a little girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, I wish that my master were with the prophet who's in Samaria. Then he would cure him of his leprosy. Naaman went in and told his master. Thus and thus spoke the girls from the land of Israel. The king of Aram said, go now, I'll send a letter to the king of Israel. He departed and took with him 750 pounds of silver, 150 pounds of gold, 10 changes of clothes. He brought the letter to the king of Israel saying, now, as this letter comes to you, behold, I've sent Naaman my servant to you that you may cure him of his leprosy. When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes. Am I God to kill and make alive that this man is sending word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Consider now, he's seeking a quarrel with me. It happened when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes. He sent word to the king saying, why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me. He shall know that there's a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses, his chariots, stood at the doorway of the house of Elisha. Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times. your flesh will be restored to you, and you'll be clean. Naaman was furious. He went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hands over the place and cure the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. Fortunately, his servants came near and spoke to him, said, my father, had the prophet told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean? So he went down, dipped himself seven times in the Jordan according to the word of the man of God. His flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child. He was clean. When he returned to the man of God with all his company, he came and stood before him. He said, behold, now I know there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Amen. What a powerful story. What was this girl's expectation concerning her master? God can heal him. If you just saw the prophet in Israel, you'd be better. Is that bold or what? Okay. So that's the next fill-in. She had an expectation that God would heal Naaman. Was she correct? Yes. So that's the next fill-in. And then he goes there, and they go to the king, and the king is freaking out. He goes, oh, he's just seeking, you know, a reason to start a war with me. And Elisha said, oh, send him to me. What's Elisha's expectation? God will heal him. He goes, we'll show him that there's a prophet of God in Israel. There is a real God, and he can heal. So I don't know about you, but I'm really challenged. I'm challenged by that kind of faith. And Elisha's an important figure because he's a forerunner of Jesus. Elisha is really like a picture of us that the Messiah is coming. This is what he's going to be like. He did miracles like Jesus did. So I share this with us to build our faith, to aim high. The last point is God wants all the world to know that he alone is God. When God brought the Jews out of Egypt through all those plagues and miracles that he did, he goes, I want to demonstrate that I am the real God. That's powerful. So I want us to be like that. There's a scripture, Acts 10:38, where Peter's preaching to a bunch of people. He said, you know Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Well, if that's what Jesus did, shouldn't we as followers of Jesus be doing the same thing? Yes. Okay, thank you. Yes. Yes, we should be doing the same thing. So that's a challenge, right? The big challenge is you've prayed for somebody and they didn't get healed. And that makes you kind of like, oh dear, you know, God's going to look bad or I'm going to look bad. Which is worse, God looking bad or me looking bad, you know? It's like we get all these, we get bound up. So we just have to get over and say, no, let's just be like the little girl and say, you know what? We're going to pray for you. And we're going to see what God does. And I'm convinced we'll begin to see God show up more and more. Let's demonstrate, let's believe, and show the world there's a God at Abundant Grace Church. That sounds haughty, but it's not. There's a God at Abundant Grace Church. Let's show people there's a God in the Church of Jesus in the city of Boston. Let's be praying for our friends overseas that there's a God in the Middle East. There's a God in Turkey. Amen? All right? So we want people to know that. God is moving. I just got a phone call last week from a brother I haven't seen or heard from in 20 years. Lives in Waltham. He's calling for help. God's moving. Moving in a bigger way than I've seen in a long, long time. So he wants you to believe that. God's going to do more in your life this year. God's going to do more in our lives together as Abundant Grace Church in 2020. God wants to demonstrate who he is in a bigger way in our city through our ministries. You serve a big God. Amen? So let's dream big. All right. Steph, can you close us with a song? Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you that we serve a living God. We thank you that we serve the God who made heaven and earth. We thank you we serve a God who spoke and it was done, who commanded and it stood fast. So, Lord, we want to give you all our doubts. We want to give you every time we took a step of faith and something big didn't happen. And we say, Father, cleanse us from that, so that we are like the girl in Samaria saying, no, the prophet will heal him because there's a God in Israel. Thank you. Thank you that you're among us. Thank you that you're with my brothers and sisters. Thank you that you're in them by your Spirit. Lord, let us believe you for bigger things this year. Let us dream big because you're a great God. In Jesus' name, amen.